Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another edition of Cata Nation Studios. Again, inspired during the San Diego Latino Film Festival, I was able to bring in an artist who I got to meet in person and was immediately in love with her work and saw that she has got huge talent. And this is actually going to be her first time on a podcast. So I'm very excited for all of you to meet the artist known as Esmeralda Robles. We met through the San Diego Latino Film Festival. You were one of the high points as far as artists goes. Like everywhere I went, there was like a piece of yours from Andy, from Melody. Like you even got to work on a mural for Cheech Marin. So how did that feel like to be part of the San Diego Latino Film Festival and seeing almost your art everywhere?
I like it. I don't really know what to say. Like I get a little bit nervous talking in front of people or like this podcast, but I like it. I did do a press conference with Melody. Well, it was just not the press conference, but presenting a piece that we did for Ethan and Andy. And I had like thought about that a year ago, so I was mentally preparing myself, and it was cool. And last year, I painted Bad Bunny live as an artist and doing portraits. Normally, for one that size, takes me like a week to complete. And one thing I tell myself in my head, so like I can do it faster, is I tell myself I have to finish this in 1 hour, and then it just makes me do it in like one day. Not perfectly, but just enough so that it looks good from far away.
For sure. You brought up that you were part of the Digital Gym last year. How long have you been involved with the Digital Gym, and how long have you been showing?
I think the first San Diego Latino Film Festival was in 2019, and Melody de los Cobos invited me to participate. And then after that, I was going to enter it again, but then COVID happened, and so there wasn't no festival for like I think maybe 2 years. I don't know if it was three.
Yeah, I was actually gonna wonder about like how it was during the pandemic, but you kind of answered that question, because it seems like 2022 was like our proper comeback for everything. Like 2021, we're still kind of like stepping our toes into that. And has the pandemic been an effect in you participating and wanting to do art and showcase your art to the public?
Well, showcase my art, yeah, but there's also social media, so I can just do everything at my house and put it online. But as far as art shows, yeah, there was like no art shows going on.
I want to go back to the beginning, back to what got you into wanting to start art, what got you into making this your career?
I remember first drawing when I was, I'd say, 3 years old. I had scribbled with crayons and markers all over, like a whole wall. And I remember my mom, like, washing everything with a sponge, cleaning the whole wall. And at that, I was, like, I'd say I was 3 years old, because there's a picture of that bedroom that I remember, and I was, like, that age. After that, well, my mom is a designer for San Diego Gas and Electric, and that was a time when I was 6 years old. And she would work overtime on Saturday, so she would take me to work with her. And back then, they did everything on drafting tables. Now, everything is by computer. I would sit on one drafting table, and I would, like, draw the power lines and the, you know, the wires that are in the street. Well, she would do, the real designs, and I was 6 years old. And she had, like, at her work, all kinds of art supplies, like colored pencils, mechanical pencils, the big poster blank paper. Because it's like maps that they would do, rulers and markers. And so I actually started off drawing with colored pencil. I didn't start with crayons like other kids do. And I remember being in this house, and she would teach me how to like draw in my coloring book. She would like tell me with colored pencils, don't go outside the lines. And then she would get cotton balls and Q-tips, and she would say like, with this you can shape. So I like blend it in when I was 8 years old, my mom's brother, he was always in and out of prison, and he was an artist, and he would like draw really good. And I'm in third grade. He sends me a letter from prison, and I'm 8 years old, and it had a nice drawing on it. And I wrote him back, and I told him, how did you learn how to draw like that? One day I want to be an artist like you. And so he wrote me back with another letter, and he said, to practice drawing every day for 1 hour, and by the time I'm big like him, then I would be an artist like him. So I believed him. Like, if he would have told me that when I was 15 years old, I would have been like, yeah, right, you have to be born with it. He told me when I was 8 years old, and my mind was like innocent. So like, I believed whatever he said. And so I started drawing every day. By the time I was like in sixth grade, it was like kind of like noticeable to the other students, because they would pick me to be in, to do the art for, like, if it was a group lesson or whatever, a project. But when I was in seventh grade, it was like really noticeable to all the students and all my teachers. So like in seventh and eighth grade, I didn't even go to school to do the work. Like, I was getting C's, D's, and F's, because in each class, all I was doing was drawing all day in every single class. And I did have to go to summer school because I didn't graduate with my class. And then my stepdad noticed my skills. At that time, he was my mom's boyfriend. And he told my mom, you should put her in the San Diego Airbrush Academy. And so that's where I started to get my airbrush background, which I'm not very that good at it. But I do use it for the backgrounds of some of my paintings, like Bad Bunny. I airbrush the background. The Cheech and Chong. Cheech Marin. I airbrushed the sky. Yeah, and then when I was 15 years old, or maybe it was, yeah, I was 15 years old, and I was staying in an art class, and the art teacher told me, it was in 10th grade, there's nothing I could possibly teach you. You're like advanced. You already like know everything. So instead, you're going to be your own teacher, and you're going to challenge yourself by picking bigger projects. And while I teach the rest of the class, you'll do your own on the side. And he said, no more drawing on 8x10 paper. Now it's going to be like those 19 inch, but you know, the bigger paper. He gave me one lesson though. Not an actual lesson. Like, he just told me what to do. It was a piece of paper, and he said, I want you to draw these textures: ice, water, dirt, steel, concrete, wood. And so I did that. And then after that, then I got to do whatever I want, but it was something that I would challenge my own self. And so I started to do that when it was 12th grade. I was getting all these letters in the mail, like from, I got like saying that I was accepted into university, which I never even applied for, but it was the San Diego Art Institute, the San Francisco Art Institute, this Academy of Arts of San Francisco, Otis. There's a college like in LA that's called Otis Design something. And then Valencia, which I heard that if you want to do artwork for Disney, and they only hire people if they go to that Valencia school. So I was accepted in those five, and I didn't even like sign up for myself. So like, I was wondering, maybe my high school teacher applied for me. Through the ages of 15 through 24, I had this really bad depression. And so I went through a period of doing this dark art. I completed 4 sketchbooks. It's like scary stuff, not really happy. My grandma had passed away, and I had an artist block that lasted about 2 years. And then after that, I stopped drawing that negative stuff, and I started to get into painting, because I felt like drawing, I felt like I got really good in drawing, that it was no longer a challenge to me. Like, it was just like boring, and I felt like I needed something to challenge. And painting was always like hard. So I started off doing abstracts, and it was like bright colors, happy. And once I got the hang out of using the paintbrush, then I started to like look at pictures and try to copy it, like a picture of a dog or a beach. And now I do like this happy work that's not dark, like in those sketchbooks that I completed, 4 sketchbooks. 200 pages each, with total 800 drawings, plus more that I have around here.
I want to go back to something that you mentioned, where you said that you started at one point, started drawing a lot of like more dark and stuff, giving the loss of your grandmother. It is a different transition for a lot of people. And how do you feel now seeing that kind of art? Maybe not necessarily your art, but you've seen among other artists.
Well, they always say that artists have like something in their mind, like whether it's depression or all these things. Even the musicians have it, and that's why like singers or songwriters, they have there's like depressing music that they're expressing, but also artists that paint and draw have that too. So when I see the others, although I don't do that no more, but I was thinking of bringing some of it back into painting because all those were drawings and then replicating them in paintings. It would be a little bit different. Maybe not so like scary, but some of it. And I was told by a teacher in Salvation College, because I showed her my sketchbooks on the last day of school. And I asked her, what kind of artist do you think I am? And she said I was a symbolist surrealist, which is like a combination of Frida Kahlo was a symbolist and Salvador Dali was a surrealist. But in all the paintings you see me like do now, it's not really those styles because I'm trying to like get better.
I like that you were able to manage different styles of art. It doesn't just feel, like you stayed with one. I feel like you bring it up starting at six and you just kind of like starting now. And what has been something that you have been wanting to work on that you haven't done yet in your art career?
Something that I haven't done yet, but I know I could do. Do you know that the artist Weiland?
No, I don't.
He's a really famous artist around the world, and he has like 25 galleries. He used to have a gallery in Seaport Village, and I have his logo tattooed right here.
Nice.
Yeah, and he's a muralist, and he can like paint murals on really tall buildings, like say 20 feet, 20 stories tall, or whatever. And I've never done one that tall. The most tallest I did was, I think it was like 30 feet high in City Heights. But I want to do like, say, like a 5-story house or even taller. Like, I know I could do it, even though I've never done it. And that would be cool.
That's good. Like, that's good to dream big. And it looks like you are just heading down that path because I just see how consistent you are, even with the digital, on a digital demo, film festival, just your passion and, your love for your art. One of the things that I wanted to bring up, so as of right now, it's April 5th. Earlier today, I met up with Edwin Lohr. He's a good friend of mine, and he was asking me about my podcast. Do you have anybody in mind that you want on the show? And then I'm like, well, I'm interviewing this artist named Esmeralda Robles. Oh, you're gonna love her story. And I did not know that you were part of was it Love San Diego? Live San Diego, was it called?
Love City Heights. I did
That's
a mural over there.
Yes, I that's what I wanted to talk about. The mural yourself. How was that like? Was it your first mural or?
No, my first mural was in my uncle's house in Tijuana, and then one at my mom's house in Chula Vista inside the bathroom. It might have been, I'm not sure what number, but there was like a couple that I did. I had, but that one in City Heights is actually the biggest one that I've ever done.
I did want to know, since this will be up on Wednesday, any big moments, any big things that we should be on the lookout for you and anything that you want to plug and give a shout out to?
Well, as things I'm gonna do in the future, right now I don't really know. I am gonna start a mural soon at in Imperial Beach at a local business. The scoreboard. But right now I'm just kind of like sort of taking a break from the art shows because I just moved from the back of the house to the front of the house. I'm working on just cleaning. But I will still enter, just not like a lot like before until probably the next New Year's. After that, then I'm ready to get back into it. But as far as people or people that have inspired me to like be where I am today will be my doctor, my mom, my dad, my favorite artist Weiland, another one of my favorites named Patrick Ching, and the artists that I have a couple of like artists that I really like their work that live in all the islands of Hawaii. So all of their artwork has been like an inspiration for me. Also, so for local San Diego people that have helped me would be well, Melody, Andy, Ethan with the festival, Melody through other art creators and all the art creators here in San Diego that have been in their shows, like Camelia Faroki used to be an art creator, Isaac Coronado, La Bodega Gallery, Chris and Sony Sertuche, and Chicano Art Gallery, like all these art creators, they give a reason for me to like do work that kind of like has kept me going. And so thank you to all of them.
I was really impressed with what you were able to do and accomplish. The fact that you were up there with Teach My Name, that was like really cool to see. And like, I don't know if you've had other moments like that, and I just want to know how those moments have felt, made you feel.
So he would probably be the most famous person that I painted and gave him the painting. Maybe Ika Mouse too. I painted Ika Mouse last year in October at the Bajar Roots Festival. That was at Las Rocas Hotel in Paso Rosarito. And the moment that I knew that Ika Mouse was going to be there, and then I got permission and invited to be in the festival by a friend that was a sponsor, Baja Amigos, the people that helped to run the festival, I knew that I was going to paint Ika Mouse. What I didn't know, and I knew that right away, I knew that I'm going to paint his portrait and I'm going to give it to him. What I didn't know was how was it going to happen, because I didn't like ask anyone, how can I give it to him? I just waited till I got there. And then my friend, Lori, showed up, and she's like, why don't we just go backstage? I bet he's back there. And so I follow her, and she's like, and he's wearing Ika Mouse is like really tall, and he's wearing like a pirate hat. And she looks and she's like, isn't that him right there? And I'm like, oh shit, like, you found him. And we go back there and we take pictures, and I give him that. And I had set aside, I had did some Rastafari theme, and one was, I painted Ika Mouse on it. So I asked him if he could autograph it for me. I was going to give it to my friend, but since he wrote my name and he personalized it, then I ended up keeping it. So that was pretty cool. And he was like really nice. He like sang his music. You know Ika Mouse, right?
Yeah.
Ganja smuggling. So he got on the stage and he sang his music. And I say like he was nice because he actually got off the stage to sing with the crowd, when other people, other celebrities would be like running away or scared, right? But he got off and like he was staying in between the whole crowd, like people all around him. And nobody bugged him. Like everyone was respectful. And then when he was on stage, he invited like 5 girls and a couple guys to get on the stage to like sing with him and dance with him. And like, I don't really go to concerts, but I haven't really seen that. And I thought, well, that was cool. That was nice. And then he gave the microphone to somebody, and he started like freestyling and like rapping to his band playing. And I thought that was cool too.
Any words of encouragement that you want to give to everybody listening to the show right now?
Never stop following your dreams. Always keep trying to do better and better, and don't give up.
Esmeralda Robles, everybody. You can find her on Instagram, link down below. Give her a shout out. Check out her art. She's really good at what she does, and just showed us here in this amazing story that she brought to the table. One person that she wanted to bring up who has inspired her is Ira Cosmos, an artist that has inspired her very dearly, so she wanted to give her a shout out. So there you go, Ira Cosmos. The show's been going good. I've been very blessed to have picked up the momentum of Catanation Studios. There is a point where work took over being able to do Catanation, but we are able to maintain it. And next week, we have Maria Dolores Aguila coming to the show. So we'll see you next week. And never forget, we are Catanation. Me. Hi, this is Alex Catano. If you really enjoyed that, don't forget to check me out on Spotify and follow me on Instagram @WeAreCatanation for more. Thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next one.